I didn't know until just now when Rabbi Amale referred to the tragedy that happened on Shabbos. Whenever a tragedy happens in the world, something that gets everybody's attention. So it's a calling, especially to the Jewish people who are looking to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell the world. And when it hits home more, then he's banging even stronger when it hits the Jewish people. And we're supposed to look into the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to us to see what is it that we could work on. And if this tragedy, it sounds like it happened in a shul, so how appropriate? What's more appropriate than specifically focusing on what we do in a shul and on davening and trying to strengthen our connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the area of tefillah? There's a lot that we could learn about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, learning the Torah, and he tells us the things, a little bit about how he runs the world. You could also learn about a Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes even just by looking about the world and studying the world. You study the human body, you study the laws of nature and physics, and you see that there's tremendous organization and planning that's behind everything. And there's thousands of laws and rules that are working together in unison in order for this project of Earth and the universe to work. Every detail needing to be in place and everything working off of each other. That same systematic way of running things in the physical realm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the spiritual realm like that also. It's not just that in the physical world there's a lot of rules and systems, and the spiritual realm everything is just like whatever Hashem says goes. In the spiritual realm also there's rules too. And one of the rules in the spiritual realm that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created when he created the world is that you won't have everything that you're able to have unless you ask for it. There are some things that you have no matter what, that you're just born into. There are some things that you're only going to receive if you ask for it once. Some things you only receive if you ask for it twice, 10 times, 100 times. There's a midrash that comes up in a few places that says, some tefillos it takes 100 years to be answered, like Avraham Avinu when he was given Yitzchak. Some tefillos take 90 years, like Sari Menu when she had Yitzchak. Some tefillos, the midrash says, take 60 years, like Yitzchak, when he had his two twins. Some tefillos take 40 days and 40 nights, like Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai when begging for forgiveness for the Jewish people. Some take 3 days, like Yonah and the whale. And some, you just start to open your mouth, and you're already answered, like by Kriyas Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't daven. The Yeshua is happening right now, the Midrash says. So it's not that if you ask for it once, if you're meant to have it, you'll have it. If not, not. It's decided, the Arizal said, before you're born, what things you would have if you would daven this much, what things you would have if you would daven this much. There's a gzera on certain things that no matter what, there's no way you'll be able to have. And there's some things you'll have no matter what. You can't know what those things are. And there's no end and there's no point that one would stop to daven for something. Chazal say in the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Bichana Brabichanina, Imra Adam Sheispala Velo Ne'ana, if a person sees that he's davening and he's not being answered, Yachzav Yispala, he should go back and daven again. As the Pasuk says, Kavei Al Hashem, put your hope in Hashem, and then Chazak V'yamitz Libecha, strengthen your heart again, recover Hashem, and put your hope in Hashem again. Often we project the way we are onto Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's inappropriate. If somebody were to ask us for something, we were to say no. Ask us again, we were to say no, and they keep on badgering us, that would be annoying, and that would be getting in our way, and we would say, just get away. It wouldn't be making us closer to the person, it would be distancing us from that person. The Gemara and the Yerushalmi and the Mabit say that Melech Machay Amlachim is completely different than that. He's not like Basav Adam. He wants us to daven, and the more you daven, the better. It doesn't matter. You could daven 20 times a day, 100 times a day for the same thing. It's only better and better and better the more that you ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for things. That's in terms of the number of times, the length of the davening, and the amount of kavana that a person has. All of it is decided whether you'll have each thing based on how you daven for it. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu set the world up in that way? What would be the logic behind that? So one of the most important ideas to say about this, there's a Gemara in Yuma where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his Tamidim, asked him when a Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving them man in the Midbar, why didn't he just give a huge pile of man once a year? Why did it have to be that exactly the right amount of portions fell for them each day, day after day? Why can't it just be once a year? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai answered, and he said like this. He said, it's like if a father would just give his son everything once a year, so the father would see his son once a year. But this father, he wants a connection with his son. He wants to be close to his son. So what happens to the Jewish people in the Midbar? Every day they see, I have all these children that were born to me in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar. What are they going to eat tomorrow? We're completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us tomorrow. And they were, and their hearts would break and they would dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they'd be given again tomorrow. That way there's a constant connection with Hashem. You compare it to a parent that gives his kid a credit card and says, okay, could use it whenever you want. I'll see you who knows when. So there won't be any connection, there won't be any relationship between the child and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the kid might have everything that he wants. We were put in this world to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the next world, that's what lasts for us in Olam Haba, to what extent we've built a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to miss out on that relationship because it's the reason why we're here, and it's the greatest good that He can give to us. And therefore, He made the situation that to live the right way, you need to keep on turning to Him and davening to Him. And then He even made a halacha, you need 3 times a day to stand in front of Him and daven. They're not punishments. They're not things that He needs. They're not just obligations. It's He's requiring us to get the greatest good, which is a relationship with Him, and not be able to ignore it. If a person is living in his life in a way that's not a goal of his, to have a relationship with Hashem, then davening is going to be very boring and very annoying and getting in the way. And when a person works on making a focus of their life, connecting with the one that created him and the entire world, then davening is an opportunity to do what it is that we were put here for and not to miss it. Sometimes people have this feeling about the sitter that, okay, I'll talk to Hashem. Let me tell him what I want to tell him. Why are they telling me what to tell him? So first of all, 100% is a mitzvah. Every time you talk to Hashem, the more you talk to Him, the better. After davening, between davening, all the time. But there's also 3 set tefillos. And that we could explain like this. If let's say the king told an 8-year-old kid, I'm going to have a meeting with you. Whatever you ask for, I'm going to take very seriously and I might give to you. And I'll give to you at least in some way or other whatever it is that you're asking. So, and you can come to me at this time. When the parents hear the opportunity their 8-year-old son is going to have, like, oh my gosh, our 8-year-old son, what is he going to ask for? He's going to ask for a Game Boy. He's going to ask for, I don't know, this different things. He's going to ask for all the silliest things, but it's an opportunity to talk to the king. We want him to ask for the things that we need the most. So the parents will train the kid and say, ask the king for this, 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 but I want this and this and this and this. No, 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 wait. You could ask for that, but first make sure to ask for this, this, and this. Say it back to me. It's like a husband and a wife where the husband sometimes says the wrong things to his wife and the wife says to him, this is what I want to hear from you. This is what you need to say. When we ask for things, we're asking with the teeny head of a little kid, not really knowing what's good for us, not knowing what's good for the world, and not understanding how powerful a tefillah is, that it actually is effective. And the sitter is making sure that we don't let it go to waste to something that won't be the most important place. When you look in the sitter and you see what it is that you're asking for, it's also teaching you what is the best for you ultimately. You might not realize it. We're in kindergarten, we're in first grade. But the things that we need are, and we're speaking to the king, we need to be taught, this is what you should be asking for. So we shouldn't miss out on that. But at the same time, of course, the things that are important to you also, and the things that matter to you, on the level that we're all on, we should be asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we can't get anything ourselves. We need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Sometimes we feel, okay, but I'm not going to have kavana, so what's the point? I don't know what the words mean, and I don't necessarily feel it when I'm saying it. But first of all, that's something that we could work on, and we need to make a plan of how I'm going to work on those things. But besides that, what goes into the power of tefillah is not only how much kavana that you have, but it's how much effort it took you to put yourself there and to go there. If somebody one day finds himself in a university that to go to the closest minyan, he has to walk 10 minutes in the snow or in the freezing cold, like way before his first class is going to be. And he does that, and he gets to the minyan, and he has 0 kavana. His tefillah may still be more powerful than somebody who goes to a next door minion and has tons of kavana. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything that went into it, and he sees how makshiv, how much you give importance to the fact that, and you recognize that you're standing in front of him. When there's a meeting with Hashem, when Hashem invites you and calls you to a shachris, to a mincha, to a ma'av, and you don't show up, that's a smack in the face to he who's giving you the body that you're walking around with and that you're pulling the covers over your body with. It's an ignoring the meeting that he set for you, not for him. When you show up to that, you're acknowledging that he created you. You're acknowledging his existence. That itself is of value, even when you don't have any kavana, you don't know what it is that you're saying. There's a halacha, this is of Chaim Brim, Zatzal points out, there's a halacha, that let's say, you say, v'tein talu matar in the summer, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us rain. But you say it in the summer when you're not supposed to say it. You're just on autopilot, saying Shemona Esrei, you say v'tein talu matar, and all of a sudden you realize later, oh no, I said v'tein talu matar. The halacha is, you have to daven Shemona Esrei again. We want you to erase what you did and reprogram your tefillah because we're afraid that it's going to send rain at a time that's not good. What are you afraid of? This guy's on autopilot. He just said b'tein talmud. He doesn't even know what he's saying. Even the halacha is that even if by accident you say Shmona Esrei of the Chol, of a weekday on Shabbos, and you say v'tein talamatar, and it's the summer, you have to daven again the weekday tefillah, don't say v'tein talamatar, and then daven the Shabbos tefillah. Because we're afraid that you didn't even know there was Shabbos, this person. He's davening weekday. He doesn't even know what, he's not even thinking what the words he's saying when he says, let it rain, it's the summer. And yet we're afraid that his words are going to be powerful, because there's a power that's put into the words of the tefillah, even when you don't know what it is that you're saying. So there is tremendous value in just showing up and saying the words, and you're adding value as you learn what it is that they mean. Chazal say in many places, and Chaim Velazhin talks about it in Pirkei Avos, that when a person davens biyechidus alone, he goes alone. He davens by himself in his room or in the porch or in the back of the base, whatever, without a minion. So, what happens now is like this: for a tefillah to go out to Shemayim, it has to pass, so to speak, many checkpoints where they check and they analyze the person. Who is he who's asking for these things? Does he know what it is that he's saying? Is he deserving of the things that he's asking for? Does he speak Lashon Hara with that mouth that he's davening with? All type of checkpoints. And when a person davens alone, he's saying, me on my own, I'm trying to get my tefillah up there. And there's gaiva, there's haughtiness behind the fact that he thinks that he and his own could just get his tefillah up there when he's supposed to be davening with a minyan. But when you're davening with a minyan, Chazal say, your tefillahs go up whether you're deserving or you're not deserving. Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that he looks at all the schuyos and the mitzvahs of the people in the room, and not the averos. He looks at all the mitzvahs and schuyos of the people in the room, and he uses that. You're lacking in this, but that person has it. He's lacking in this, but you have that. And he looks at all that together, and that shoots your tefillos up to Shemayim, where it doesn't have to pass those checkpoints. But when you daven alone, then they look at you with a magnifying glass, and look at your tefillah with a magnifying glass. Now it really makes a difference how much kavanah you have, because you think that you on your own could just stand in front of Hashem like that. That's only true at the set tefillahs of the day, Shabbos, Mincha, Maariv. When you talk to Hashem throughout the day, it's not gaiva day, because you're not meant to walk around with a minyan everywhere you go and ask Hashem for things. So then it's not haughty, and then you're living the right way by talking to Hashem throughout the day. But at the tefillahs, to go without a minyan is like to go out to battle alone against hundreds of people. Who says you have the skill to be able to deal with this on your own? To not daven at all, though, is even worse. To not daven at all. That's saying to Hashem, I don't need you, I can handle myself. And then Hashem, at some point, has to send us a reminder, you do need me, and you can handle yourself. We don't want reminders that are like that. There's a Gemara that says like this. On the same page that I read to you before, that a person davens and he's not answered, keep on davening, and then eventually you'll be answered. So the Gemara says two other things that seem to contradict. It says in Brachos Lamed Beis Amid Beis, it says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shecharav Beis HaMikdash, ninalu sha'arei tefillah. Since the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the gates of tefillah are locked for our tefillahs to get in. Even more upsetting, Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shecharav Beis HaMikdash, nifsika chomas barzel, ben Yisrael le'avim shabbat shamayim. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's a wall of metal put up between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stopping the tefillahs from going up. So it sounds like there's no hope. What's the point of davening nowadays if there's closed gates and a metal wall without the base of Mikdash? And how come the same Gemara a few lines later says, if your tefillos aren't answered, keep on davening, and when you're ma'arich in tefillah and you daven at length or many times, then your tefillah will eventually be answered? So the Stipler explains, of Chaim Kineski and other mafarshim explain like this. What it means is that when the base of Mikdash stood, tefillos were very quickly, easily, and readily accepted. The Shekhinah was so present that it didn't take so much effort, and people were at such a high level, it didn't take so much effort to have your tefillos answered pretty immediately. So much so that we find in the tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech, upon the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, he says to Hashem in the Pesukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Jews come and daven here at your Beis HaMikdash, and they ask for a child, but you know that child is going to be a Rasha, or they ask for money, but you know that they're going to sin with that money, don't give them what they're asking for if you know that it's not for their good. In other words, if you would just ask for it, you would get it, even if it might not be good for you. Shlomo needed a special tefillah saying to Hashem, don't give it to them if it's not good for them. Don't let the tefillah be powerful in that circumstance. And then he goes on, but when a guy asks for something, give him whatever it is that they ask for. Why? Not because we want them to be hurt. But a guy, if they don't see the tefillah answer, they don't see themselves get what they want, then they start to have questions on Hashem. Why didn't he give me? Did he really hear what I'm saying? Does he really exist? But a Jew, the Midrash says, won't have questions on Hashem. They see him as their father. They trust him. They know that if he didn't give it to me, it's either because I need to ask for him more and get closer to him, I need to be closer to Tshuva more, or it wouldn't be good for me to have that thing. It's not going to give him questions in Emunah what he doesn't get, what he asked for. So therefore, don't give a Jew something if it's not good for them, Shlomo HaMelech said. That was in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, without the Beis HaMikdash, what the Gemara is saying over here is that it takes a lot more effort to have the same effect that it had back then. In that same line, it says that the gates of tefillah are closed, meaning it's hard to get your tefillah answered, but sharei dima lo ninalu, the gates of tears are not locked. So first of all, when you dive into Hashem and you ask for something with tears and you're crying, then it has power similar to davening for something in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and you more readily will see your tefillah being answered as more powerful. I heard a mashal for that it's like, you know, let's say a door is closed, but if you pour water underneath the doorway, it'll still get into the house. That's on the other side of the door. So when you cry, it's like you're pouring water past the gates of tefillah that are closed to get your tefillos in there. But also the Gemara says, if you daven over and over for something, then also it would work. In other words, you could have the same effect as the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you just have to work harder. More kavana, or more times, or longer, more effort to get to the davening. But the tefillah will still be effective and still be powerful. There's another answer to that seeming contradiction in the Gemara of, are your tefillahs answered or not? This is said by Rav Yisrael Salanter and Rav Dessler, and they said like this. When you ask for something worldly, something physical, Hashem, let me get that job. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please get me a higher salary. Help me get into that school. Help me, I really want to buy that shirt. Let my mother agree to let me have that shirt or whatever it is. You're asking for something worldly, which you're supposed to be asking for. But we don't know if it's good for you. We don't know if it's good for you. You don't know. Hashem knows if it's good for you. You know, it's not objectively good for you. So therefore, you have to always add in, if this is good for me. Because if it's not good for me, I don't want it. But when you're asking for something in Avodas Hashem and Ruchnias, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please let me connect to davening more. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please let me enjoy learning. Please let me understand learning. Please let me have better midos. Please let me not get angry. Please let me be a better husband or a better roommate. So you're asking for something that's objectively good. It is good for you. There's no doubt about it that it would be good for you in that era, because those are things that are objectively good in Ruchnias. And therefore, those tefillahs are more easily and readily accepted, says Yisrael Salanter. That those gates of tefillah were never closed when you're asking for Hashem to help you in your service of Hashem. We see by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ve'eschanan El Hashem Ve'esehi Lemor. This is when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Midrash says, Ve'eschanan is the gematria of 515. That Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 different tefillos to get a Kadosh Baruch Hu to let him to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then Hashem says, "V'yomer Hashem Eli, Rav lecha al tosef daber Eli od b'davar hazeh. Enough. Stop asking me. There's a gzera. I don't want to let you in." And Chazal say, if you would have asked one more time, he would have gotten to go into the land of Israel. And that's why Hashem had to say to him, "Don't ask me again." That's so strange. Why do you have to say, "Don't ask me again"? Let him ask as much as you want, and you could just say no. You're God. You're a Kodesh Baruch Hu. No, because it's a law. Tefillah works. And the law was that if he's going to ask 516 times, he's going to get to go in. And therefore Hashem had to beg him, "Please, I ask you, don't ask again, because this isn't something that I want." But tefillah would have been effective. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all those tefillos, Chazal say, and used it for other things, Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability to see all the land of Israel through Nevuah. He got him the ability to see everything that would befall Klai Yisrael for all the generations to come. His tefillah didn't go to waste. But he had to stop davening in order that Hashem wouldn't have to give him what it is that he's asking for. That's also the idea in the Gemara that Hashem had to put up. Why do you have to put up a metal wall or close the gates? Leave the gates open. Don't put a metal wall. If you want to say no, say no. But it's not that way, because it's a law of nature that tefillos get accepted. And it doesn't matter whether you're a tzaddik or a rasha, you're deserving or undeserving. Even when somebody that doesn't have schuyos, if they daven with kavana and they realize that Hashem is control and they daven, their tefillos are powerful and they could be answered. You can't tell on somebody that they're a tzaddik because that whenever they daven, their tefillos get answered. It's true that in some ways it could be easier for a tzaddik, but anybody with kavana, the tefillah could be answered. Even in Russia, there's many chazals to support that idea. We see that Esav, because of the tears that he cried, that he didn't get the brachos from Yaakov, because those tears, he had the nation of Amalek come out from him. I don't know how much of a schus that is, but that's what it is that he wanted. He wanted a powerful nation. He got it. Even the tears of Esav and Buchan, everybody's tears, there's a midrash in the list, all the Rishon, that their tefillos were effective. There's no, it's not true if somebody feels, how could I daven with Hashem? I just did this wrong. I just did that last night. It's not true. If you know that you're speaking to Hashem, and you go and you care and you recognize that you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your tefillah is powerful whether you're deserving or not. That's the pshat in the Yugim Amidus HaRachamim, when we say Hashem is chanun, he gives a matnas chinam, a free present. Even if you're not deserving, if you daven and you ask, he gives it. The Gemara says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the imahos, akaros, he made them barren, not able to have children, that they did daven for many years until they were each able to have their children by Sarah, by Rivka, by Rachel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired and yearned for their tefillos so much, so to get them to daven, he made it hard for them to have children. We see that the goal is the tefillah, not just that you get what you want. The reason, it's not that we daven to have the things that we're lacking. We're lacking things so that we daven. We're lacking the things that we're lacking because Hashem wants us to daven. If we wouldn't be lacking in them and we wouldn't daven, we'd be missing the most important thing, which is to daven. And a person on a truly high and appropriate level enjoys more talking to Hashem than getting it what it is that he asks for. And when he gets what he asked for, what makes him happy even more than getting what he asked for is the fact that Hashem listened to me. Hashem just gave me a hug. He gave me that thing. More than the fact that he got that thing. David HaMelech says in Tehillim in Parakuf Ted Zion, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli tachanunai. I love that Hashem listened to me. Kihita aznoli. Why is that I'm happy? Because he listened his ear to me, and I see that. That's what gave him the happiness. Not that he got what it is that he wanted. In the Messiah's Yesharim, he quotes a midrash. Ivdu at Hashem b'simcha. We know Ivdu, Ezu avoda, what's v'avatim Hashem l'kach, v'avatim, Ezu yavoda shabalev. Avoda shabalev is davening. If a daven with simcha, what's the simcha? What's the happiness when you're davening? Amar b'ayvu, Keshetia omelis pala, when you stand up to daven, yelibcha sameach alecha, you should be happy. You're not supposed to come to daven and be like, you're supposed to be happy when you're going to daven. Why? Sha'ata mispala lelokim she'en kayotzebo. You're davening to a God, there's nothing like that. The fact that he's ready to listen to you, think about somebody famous who accomplished something that's objectively irrelevant, but we're very, very into. Think of some sports hero or actor, whatever it is. How excited we would be just to, for them to say hello to us and make eye contact with us, or that we got to shake their hand or get the order. How excited we would be. Every time, lahavdil, you can't even say lahavdil, but every time you get to go to davening, it's a merit that you're talking to the King of all kings that wants to hear what you have to say. No matter how many times you stand in front of him, he's going to listen to you. That's the feeling that we're meant to have when we approach davening. It's an act of, it's simcha and it's humility. Who am I to be able to speak to him? And I'm so happy that he's giving me the opportunity that he wants to hear what it is that I have to say. There's an aspect to davening that we don't often hear people talk about. And that is that when you daven, it's not just that you tell Hashem what it is that you want, but you're allowed to even present arguments of why it would be good for you to have that thing. We see by Chana, when she was lacking children, so in the Gemara Brachos says that she turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she said to him, "You created so many babies you give to this world. You create so many people. For you, can you just give me one? I'm just asking for one." And she says, "You made all the parts of a human being, and you made a woman's chest in order to be able to nurse. Mine's going to waste. Give me a baby so it doesn't go to waste." She's coming with arguments to Hashem, reasons why it is that he should give it to her. In other words, when you daven, you're allowed to come with arguments. Not, "I deserve it." God forbid you never daven that you deserve something. But you're allowed to give arguments how, if you would give this to me, then I'll use it to serve you. I'll use it to live more of the right way. There's other examples of that time doesn't allow us to give, but we could bring different skills that people had in Tanakh and in the Gemara, and how they were coming with arguments to Hashem why he should do that. Not because you deserve it, but what you will do if he gives you that thing that you're asking for. I thought maybe just to end off with two personal tefillah stories. And like I said before, the fact that tefillah works is a law that works even for Rishaim. So when some of these tefillahs answer, that's not a proof that they're a tzaddik. And therefore, the idea behind these stories is just showing you the power of tefillah that everybody has by them. One example that I want to give that I personally happened to me, that there was one year, I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago, where I first moved into the apartment that I live in now. And one of the main reasons why we bought this apartment is because it has a massive porch, and we really wanted to have a big, big sukkah, because Bli and her, my wife, has a big family, wanted to be able to come there and be in the sukkah. And for a couple of years before that, we were renting an apartment with a big porch, and we were able to host a lot of people over, because we really, really wanted that. But the year that we bought this apartment, it was really above our budget and over our heads, that we had zero money in the bank after we bought it. And it was Yom Kippur time. Sukkot was 4 days away, and we had no sukkah on our porch, and we had no money to buy a sukkah. The amount of schach that you need, the amount of material that you need to build it on that porch, we had no way to build a sukkah on our porch. But I was devastated. We were like, "What? We're not going to have a sukkah this year. How could that be?" Like, we really loved the mitzvah of sukkah. And at Maariv time, right after Yom Kippur, that year in Torah Shraga, so I was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really begging. I said, "There's nothing that's out of your hands to be able to do. I don't know how you're going to do this, but could you put a sukkah on my porch? Can you just put a sukkah on my porch? I can't even tell you how to do it. I don't know how I want you to do it. Put a sukkah on my porch. We wanted so much just to do this mitzvah sukkah. You see the last few years how much we tried to do the mitzvah sukkah. We bought this apartment because we want to do the mitzvah sukkah. Please, I don't know how you're going to do it. Just please put a sukkah on our porch. Please put it." Asking for it over and over again. The next morning, I dive in into our truck. I eat breakfast downstairs. And Eliezer, Rav Eliezer, was the Av Bayit at the time. And he came over to me. And he said, "Do you know anybody that needs a sukkah? This year Torah Chag is not building a sukkah. We have all the parts of our sukkah. Do you know anybody that could use it, that we could lend it to this year?" I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And sitting next to me was Jason Giller and Dov Gottlieb, if anybody knows them. And they're like, "Oh, Rebbe, we'll build it for you." And then my father called and I said, "Dad, could you help drive the materials over?" And basically, by the end of that day, we had our entire porch covered with a huge sukkah on it. I didn't spend a shekel, and not even 24 hours went by since I davened, and the whole sukkah was just standing right there with a plan that was right under my nose, but so easily could not have happened, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu just put it there. And that fulfilled some of the requirements. Like we said, when you daven for something in Ruchnius and Avodas Hashem, your tefillos are even more quickly and readily answered than when you daven for something physical. And one more different kind of a story, when this is cute, funny, and really unbelievable, is that until this year, so you notice that by the kikar, by the traffic circle, by the 21 bus stop, so there's a bus stop that you all go to when you go into the train or wherever, and there's a bus stop across the street, on the other side of the street. And until this year, one or two Torah Chai guys need it for other reasons, but until this year, there was nobody that needed a bus stop over there. There's no point. There's only three more stops. Who is going from Duvdevani to Peretz Borenstein, where I live? Nobody is going there. Nobody has to get on over there. The bus could stop there, but you don't need a bench. You don't need a bus stop. And there wasn't a bench. And there wasn't a bus stop. The bus would stop there and I would get on. But I would have to stand there a lot, waiting. And it was the night before Hanukkah, and I was with Ariel Rafi, from LA, and we were talking, and I said, in front of him, he's a witness to this, I said, I wish HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just put a bench here for me, so when I'm waiting for the bus, I could sit down. The next night, the first night of Hanukkah, not only was there a bench, there was an entire bus stop, the one that's over there right now. And that was my Hanukkah present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see that all you need to do sometimes, there are some things that you could have, all you have to do is ask for it. If you just ask, you'll have it. It's not, you don't need schuyos. It doesn't need to be something so valuable, so important. You just want to have a place to sit. Something simple. If you know who the address is to speak to, and you direct your tefillah in the right place, sometimes even asking just one time is enough. We should all be zochah to give this invaluable gift of the ability to speak to the Ribono Shel Olam, and where we're even taught what to ask for in the Siddur, what's important to us, and then given places to add in our own personal requests. We're encouraged to do so for our own good, and we're given the special present of the ability to daven with a minyan, where whether you're deserving or not, your tefillos get brought up with the rest of the tzibur.